How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every weekend, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Sports Zone, we're here on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. The list goes on and on. And as we start out today's show, my God, Seattle is going crazy. 2 minutes left in this game. And Mike Sempervivi, I know we're down, but apparently we have the ball. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So we could actually win this game.
It is possible. We're covered an onside kick. They are driving on offense right now.
I don't really know what's going on because I'm not a sports guy, and I'm not really following this all that closely, although I do know that I live in Seattle, and it is crazy here, Mike, as you would expect. I actually went and I was getting groceries, of all things. That's how much I care about this game. I'm following it, but I'm not glued to the TV. I went to the grocery store during halftime when we were down 16 to nothing, and the grocery store was crawling with women. There were women everywhere, and I was there at the meat counter, and some lady just walked up and she said, I couldn't stay there anymore. It's such a sad state in the living room. So apparently all the women had gone to the store because the guys were getting ready to kill themselves as they watched this game. But we will follow the final 2 minutes here on the program as we kick off Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for 2 hours today live. We're taking all of your phone calls at 855-478-4478. We're also talking all of the news. And don't forget, it is a special Wrestling Observer Week here on Sports Byline USA. I will be here, likely with Mike, every single day this week at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on Sports Byline USA. That's right, 9 straight days of Observer Live. This is day 2. Day 3 is going to kick off tomorrow, so to speak. Again, 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. We'll be talking about Raw and so much more, so get ready for that. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. Stand by, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Listen to this music, everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's not for Damian Sandow.
No, it's not. It's Wrestling Observer Live. It is Seahawks Observer Live, everybody, as we follow the final moments of this game right here. Amazingly, during the commercial break, a bunch of complicated stuff happened. I don't really understand. Nor does my wife, although she's given me a great play-by-play here. Grown men jumping and hugging, she says, all because number 86 let the ball hit him right in the face. They tackled the yellow guys again, threw ball to the blue zone, and the guy caught it. Mike, explain this to me in plain English. What's happening in this game?
Okay, where we had left off, Seattle had recovered the onside kick, giving themselves the ball. Marshawn Lynch went into beast mode, ran a touchdown in, and that puts Seattle up 20-19. And Brian, see how this works is if Green Bay were to drive down the field and kick a field goal, they would get 3 points. So what Seattle wanted to do after the touchdown was to try to get a 2-point conversion. And somehow, some way, Russell Wilson was getting killed through a rainbow up in the air, which Doug Baldwin caught for the 2-point conversion. It is 22-19 Seahawks with Green Bay trying to drive right now to try to get a field goal and tie it up.
My God. Richard Sherman playing with one arm, my wife reports right here. What a show this is today, everybody, as we follow the final game here for the Seahawks before they may be going once again to the Super Bowl for the second year in a row here. Normally, we're talking about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and trust me, we will get to that here in just a moment. But my neighborhood here, I'm afraid, is going to burn down. Last year during the Super Bowl, I think we were live on the air, if I recall correctly, during the Super Bowl, or I can't remember.
Oh, yes, we were indeed, because I was in the lair of a huge Seahawk fan, and I'm surprised that none of it made it to air.
That's right. All I know is that last year I think it might have been this same game last year. I think it took place later in the evening, but I was upstairs working. I wasn't even watching the game or really paying attention, and it sounded like my neighborhood was getting ready to light on fire. There were people screaming. It sounded like there were riots going on outside. And anyway, they won, and they went to the Super Bowl, and it looks like Maybe doing that again this year. Now, before we continue talking about this, everybody, I want to alert you, it is Wrestling Observer Live. And just as a reminder for those of you that might be tuning in right now, or actually there's probably nobody listening right now, quite frankly, at least in Seattle. But when people turn in, I will remind everybody that it is a Wrestling Observer week as we head into the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. All this week, 9 straight days of Wrestling Observer Live. We were up yesterday, we're of course up today, and Monday through Friday this week, we've got a special 1-hour time slot every single day on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Radio at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I will be up, hopefully with Mike Sempervivi. We're probably going to have some special guests as well. We'll be talking about all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts every single day, live and free, Monday through Friday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Then the usual Saturday schedule. And Mike, next Sunday, it is the WWE Royal Rumble. And it is amazing to me as I sit here to think that I am so much more excited about what is going on in this football game right now than I am about what is potentially going to go on at the Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah, I hate to say it. When you announced yesterday we would be doing the week of shows, I'm thinking, wait, that was supposed to be for the Royal Rumble. And then I remembered, oh yeah, the Royal Rumble will be taking place. They didn't drive that point home well enough on Monday night. And I know that obviously they are trying to drive the app and things aren't as important as far as the go-home show. At least I guess they're not as important. I would still make them very important. But it doesn't seem like the marketing department is as excited for this as a lot of older fans are, who they love their Royal Rumble because, hey, it's the lead into the WrestleMania season.
You know, what's funny is I was watching NXT, I believe it was, and they were previewing the Royal Rumble, and they said a week from Sunday. And as soon as they said that, I thought, oh my God, it's a week from Sunday? Because I knew we were going to do this special one-week Wrestling Observer week leading up to the Royal Rumble, but I thought we had like 2 weeks left. Because as I've been watching the television, they haven't really hammered home on Raw how quickly the Royal Rumble is coming upon us. So I was caught off guard as well, and I had to scramble to get everything set up for this week here. I didn't have as much time to promote it as I wanted to. But yes, everybody, 1 week from now is the Royal Rumble, which means tomorrow's, I don't think they're calling it Old School Raw. I forget exactly what they're calling it, but tomorrow's show is the go-home show for the Royal Rumble.
Yes, it is. Sorry, Green Bay
What's
is setting
happening?
Up for a field goal. Green Bay is setting up for a field goal right now.
So we'd be down by one if that happens?
The game would actually be tied up and we'd go to overtime. This is a 48-yard attempt, but I know people
are probably... Oh, my God. Tie game!
Yes, it is a tie game. See, you're a little bit ahead of me. You just spoiled me.
I'm going to spoil it for you all night here. We got a tie game here heading into the Super Bowl.
You're a horrible person. You can tell you're somebody who is not a massive sports fan to do
no,
that
no,
to
I'm
a fellow
not.
Friend.
Hey, I don't know. I think there's a delay to everybody listening, so I'm actually a little bit behind. My wife is now very concerned about her father's blood pressure. He may end up in the hospital, she says, so we can all pray that does not happen. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Michael from New York City.
Michael, what's up?
So we're coming up now possibly on the end of Brock Lesnar's WWE run, or at least this run. And I wanted to look back for a second at Mania 30 and him ending the streak. And I've sort of been turning over my head ever since that happened. I know you were there live. I was watching on the network. And as soon as it happened, my wife turned to me and she said, they messed up the finish. That was the wrong finish. Now, if you remember, they're putting this over on TV now about how he gave him all these F5s, mostly because you can't show the actual match because it wasn't that good. But I was just remembering in previous WrestleMania matches where the stakes were high, people always bought the finish, especially with Triple H, when they hit The Undertaker with the Tombstone. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether you think that it would have been more of a satisfying finish if after that last F5 there had been a Tombstone from Brock to Undertaker before the pin.
So you're thinking Brock should have given the Undertaker a Tombstone.
Yeah, and that would have been the finish instead of the last F5.
I suppose it's possible.
Nobody bought the F5, and that's why they were surprised.
Well, nobody bought the F5 because I don't think anybody in their right mind thought that Brock Lesnar had any chance of beating the Undertaker. And you have to remember, by the way, you have to remember that when I talk about nobody in their right mind thought that Brock Lesnar was going to win, that includes The Undertaker. Because Undertaker didn't find out that he was losing until the day of the show. Vince McMahon alerted him literally at the last minute. And the idea going into WrestleMania, at least for everybody in the world outside of Vince McMahon, was that Undertaker was going to beat Brock Lesnar, because that's what everybody thought was going to happen, and that's what made the most sense. So that, I think, more than anything else, I just don't think most people believe, no matter what Brock Lesnar would have done, that he could possibly have beaten The Undertaker.
No, and I think to do something like that, too, unless The Undertaker was going to retire, like, it basically, obviously, they wouldn't announce it with a guy like The Undertaker, you know, immediately after WrestleMania. But if you're going to beat The Undertaker with his move like that, I mean, that's really kind of, you know, putting the nails in the coffin and cementing the deal there. Even though I know a lot of people believe that was done, there's still a possibility that The Undertaker maybe possibly could come back for one more in Dallas or something like that. But again, I, like you said, nobody really believed that it was going to happen, and it was a decision that was made so late. It's just, it's impossible.
It has been brought to my attention, by the way, that it is Raw Reunion tomorrow, so they're not calling it Old School Raw, maybe because Undertaker's not going to be there, and if you call it Old School Raw, a lot of people might expect that he is going to be there. Let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Michael from Lakeland, Florida.
What's up, Michael?
Not much, guys. I haven't been able to call for a very long time now because usually whenever you guys are doing the show, I'm either working or asleep. So it's nice to finally be able to call back in. So I figured I'd start my call with your favorite thing, Brian, an unsolicited plug. I've been subscribing to WrestlingObserver.com on and off for however long. You know, whenever I get the chance to put the money down to subscribe to the website, I always do. And people, if you don't subscribe to this website, you should. When Brian says that if you love this show, you will love the website, he is not kidding. It's one of the best values that I get every month, especially because one of the unplugged things that most people don't mention, and probably for good reason, is the board.
The board. Well, listen, hold that thought. We're going to head to commercial. We'll pick you up when we get back here. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. It is a tie game in overtime. There was a coin flip. Seattle won the coin flip, and we are now hitting an overtime with Seahawks having possession of the ball. Russell Wilson, 4-0 in overtime games this season. Mike, how was that for a call?
Excellent, and I will let the people in Boston know you can stay on and listen to us because they have pushed back the kickoff time of the Patriots-Colts game to 6:50 p.m., so plenty of time to hang in here with us.
Oh, really? What was the original kickoff time?
I think it was supposed to be at 6:25, I believe, 6:25.
All right, so half-hour delay.
Yep.
All right, reason I ask is because the UFC has a show tonight. And Conor McGregor is in the main event, and they were hoping that the football game would be over in time for all of the sports fans to switch to FS1 and watch Conor fight. And I know that during the Seahawks game today, there have been cut-ins with Conor McGregor vowing to beat this little fella in 2 minutes on the show tonight. So we'll talk about that here in a while as well. Let's go back to the phones. You are on the air, plugging this site like crazy. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I wanted to make sure that the board is given its due because I know, Brian, that you have often had a love-hate relationship with the board. And that's
mostly hate. Mostly hate, yeah, but that's okay.
Yes, mostly hate. It's very well documented, and I feel the same way, too. But, you know, sometimes when I get home from work, there's nothing better than unwinding by opening my computer, going to the board, and just laughing at some of the absurdity of the things that I read on this board. Like the
I thought you were going to say, yeah, you get home, you unwind, you open the computer up, and you hang out with Jim Bob posts.
That's also good. But one of the things that I've liked lately on the board is the influx of the Roman Reigns fan gimmick accounts, where all these people are just so diehard Roman Reigns fans that any negativity about Roman Reigns is just completely shut out. And some of the users have even gone as far as calling him, like, God's gift to the earth and all these other absurd things, which brings me to a question that I swear it ties into this, and it relates to the Looney Reigns video, which I saw.
The Looney Tunes video, yes, yes.
Yes, this video is hilarious. I cannot stress this enough. And my question is simply just, has this gotten back to WWE in any way, shape, or form? Have people in the company seen this that you know of?
I'm absolutely positive that people have seen it. I can guarantee it.
I just, because it's such a damning piece of evidence about what is happening with his character and the way that his promos are being scripted. And just, I swear, if anybody were to see this video, they would realize that they are shooting themselves in the foot with how they are treating this character.
I think a lot of it is more, it's defending Roman Reigns, because this is more of a shining indictment on Vince McMahon and that sit down he had with Steve Austin that really, you know, basically reinforced things for a lot of people. And it's a great example of why and again, you can learn a lot from 70-year-old men, especially men as successful as Vince McMahon, as far as promotion and things that happen in professional wrestling. But it's also a reason that 70-year-old men should not be writing promos for 30-year-old men. And if they are, they need to be updated with a new set of eyes to go in there and edit those so you don't come off sounding like such a goof.
I completely can see where you're coming from. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I want to thank you very much for the call. I just want to say that Roman Reigns has a lot of the things going for him that you need to be the next top star. I'm not going to get into the whole rant that I've done 9 million times, but the next John Cena cannot be John Cena. Again, the next John Cena cannot be John Cena. If Vince McMahon can figure that out, then yes, he could make Roman Reigns the next guy. But he is not going to do that if he's going to try to make Roman Reigns into the next John Cena. I almost had it written for this week, but I didn't quite have enough time. In next week's edition of Figure Four Weekly, I am going to have a big article on the next guy in WWE. I'm going to give a name that may surprise a lot of people. Oh my God. We won! Sorry to interrupt everybody, but I just got the word. We amazingly got a touchdown. We have won the game, the Seahawks, and we are going to the Super Bowl. You schooled me this time, Mike.
Hey, you know, this once again, real life can be faker than the world of pro wrestling sometimes, and you couldn't script something like this any better.
Man, oh man, I don't even care about football, and this is the most exciting thing that I've seen in a long, long time, which actually is an indictment on wrestling more than anything else, let me tell you that. So we won the game, everybody. The Seahawks are on the way to the Super Bowl after coming from behind 0-16 in overtime, sending women around the world to the grocery store because their husbands were in a state of destruction, self-destruction in living rooms around the country. So there you go. We've got apparently my neighbors are setting off fireworks right now. I've just got a report from my wife.
I was wondering if that was going to happen.
Yeah, there's fireworks going on outside. It's craziness here in Seattle, everybody. We have won the game and we're on the way to the Super Bowl. What was I talking about? Roman Reigns? Who cares about Roman Reigns right now? We won, Mike. What do you think about that? Who's winning the next game?
I would figure that New England is actually going to defeat Indianapolis, and I'm holding out hope that Seattle will once again win the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 49 and defeat New England in that Super Bowl.
My God. You know what, everybody? I got to tell you, you should all be excited for the Super Bowl with Seattle heading out there, because that means you will get my annual live tweeting of the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I've got texts. I've got emails. I've got people texting me here. Oh, my God.
All about that action, boss.
That's right. By the way, I've got a scoop from WWE that WWE is attaching Daniel Bryan to the Seahawks and the Super Bowl. You're hearing it here first. So get ready to see a lot of Daniel Bryan leading into the Super Bowl this year. They're going to attach him to the Seahawks. Of course, it is his home team as he hails from Aberdeen. So there's the scoop, everybody.
Well, it's about damn time, too. I didn't see it this morning, but ESPN apparently had Ric Flair on to discuss the Colts doing his the woo, and I forget which player it was, but doing some of the Ric Flair catchphrases and wooing and strutting in the locker room last week. And they didn't do anything at all with Daniel Bryan's tie-in with the San Francisco Giants and those guys kind of taking the yes chant. So, gee, what a novel concept. You're going to take advantage of something like that.
I've got a new condenser mic here, which is a little bit more sensitive. So if you guys hear a bunch of booming in the background, I swear to God, I live here in the suburbs of Seattle. This is not right here in the middle of the city, but people are, in fact, letting off fireworks right now. Things are blowing up all around my house. It's 28-22 with the Seahawks winning in overtime. And let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what's going on?
I want to get over the pay-per-view I went to over the weekend last week, the top three matches that were on the show.
What pay-per-view did you go to?
January Jackpot.
January Jackpot. That sounds like the Seahawks win here.
Well, okay. First match was Davey Richards getting a victory over Chris LaRussa in the battle between Ring of Honor.
That's right. You told us about this last week. You were going to go to this. I was asking who Daniel LaRusso was. I thought he was the guy from The Karate Kid. He's a Ring of Honor guy.
Right.
All right. So Davey Richards won. No surprise.
What surprised me about this match is Davey Richards used a group of preschoolers to obtain the victory because he had them assault Chris LaRusso outside the ring.
Hold on a minute. Davey Richards was accompanied to the ring by preschoolers?
No. They were the kids sitting at ringside. He would go around the ring, and they would take turns beating up Chris LaRusso.
Why were preschoolers here at this show? Please tell me this was a rated G show and nobody was swearing on the microphone.
It's a modern-day version of ECW, so I don't think
no.
It's really...
Why were there preschoolers there?
I'm not sure.
Somebody needs to talk to these parents. This is unacceptable. All right, what was the second match?
Okay, second match was the Battle of the Rosebuds. Mandy Leone defeated the daughter of Sam Houston and Mandy Dahl.
Oh, man.
At the start.
Sounds like the hottest match in the world.
The daughter of Sam Houston?
Right.
Who was that? What was her name?
Samantha Starr.
Oh, okay. Ed, get on that.
Samantha Houston. How about that?
And you can watch this match on YouTube, and this is the first match Manny Leanne has worked as a heel. What made this match
a heel? How is she working as a heel? This doesn't make any sense.
You'll have to watch the YouTube video.
I guess you're right. So go on.
Okay, and what made this match interesting is at the end of the match, a 12-year-old girl challenged Manny Leanne to an MMA fight.
Well, I presume this wasn't one of the preschoolers. You're at a preschool at 12, right, Mike?
Yes. So usually 12, 1 o'clock, yes, sir.
How about that?
Now, this is a considerably bigger girl.
Now, here's the thing.
Bigger than
Mandy Leone, she's very beautiful and everything. I do not know what her skills are. If this girl has been doing jujitsu her entire life, you never know.
Dude, I got 12-year-olds who would beat the smoke out of Mandy Leone. But hold on, Ryan. So are you saying that this 12-year-old girl was much larger than Mandy Leone, or she was much larger than your average preschooler?
She is a normal-sized girl, I'd say. A little big, I guess, for 12, but
I see.
Size.
And did Mandy Leone accept this challenge for a mixed martial arts fight against a 12-year-old?
Mandy Leone said, go to wrestling school and learn how to wrestle. And she seemed very upset at this girl.
Wow.
She said.
Wow. Mm. All right, well, what was the last match we got to talk about?
The main event was Jimmy Nuts, formerly of Ring of Honor, coming back. He did the Daniel Bryan gimmick where he acts like he's there to retire, and then he makes up his mind that his mom talked him into wrestling again. So he won his title for his first match back in a TLC match.
Really?
Nacho Jesus.
Ryan, stand by. We have to head to a break. I'll pick you up when we get back because I'm sure you got more to say. But stand by, everybody. Back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Couple of updates here. The Seahawks are, in fact, on the way to the Super Bowl, and I can confirm that my wife is alive, as is my father-in-law. They were communicating during the break, so we can all rest easy knowing that news. And, of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. You just heard the caller earlier in the hour talking about how awesome the website was. Every single day, brand new radio shows up on the website, Monday through Monday, in fact. Two shows a day, except on Sundays when I normally do three shows. After Wrestling Observer Live tonight, I have two more shows to do this evening. I've got a show with Vinny. We're going to be talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and SmackDown. And then later on tonight, Dave Meltzer and I talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, as well as a review of tonight's UFC event. You get all of these brand new shows as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. And in fact, if you sign up, not only do you get all of the brand new shows, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. That is over 5,000, actually, I apologize. That is over 6,000 hours of audio. at Last Count, which is nearly triple the amount that you can get on the WWE Network. All available for you as low as $9.99 a month. So sign up for WrestlingObserver.com. And if you want a sample of what you get on the website, just tune in all this week on Wrestling Observer Live, Monday through Friday, a very special week leading up to the Royal Rumble, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every weekday this week, leading into WrestleMania's Royal Rumble weekend. I know that made no sense, but it rolled off the tongue. Let's go back to Ryan in Cumberland, who is on the air. Ryan, what's going on?
Yeah, just letting you know that Jimmy Nuts did the Daniel Bryan gimmick and won the title back before WWE could do the gimmick. And also, should be noted, your good buddy Tony Corzini worked as a curtain jerker and lost his match on the pay-per-view from Portland Wrestling.
And Tony Cozina, in fact. But yes, right. He worked that show. Good guy. You know, he trained Davey Richards.
Huh.
Yeah.
And lastly, your favorite wrestler, Dylan Benostic, I believe, that's on your Facebook page. He worked the show and had an interesting gimmick where he does the DX chop to a one-year-old girl to get his heat.
That is unacceptable. I mean, it's unacceptable. What are all these young children doing here at this event? That's just not right. By the way, Mike, I was alerted on my Twitter that you are only in preschool until about the third grade. There are no 12-year-olds in preschool, I was told.
Unless you have, a really dumb child that just cannot get out of preschool. That
could be.
Stay there that entire time. But yes, usually it's 3 and 4 years old, Montessori school, nursery school, preschool.
Man, I'm looking at a Montessori for my youngster. Who's not been born yet, but when they are, I think it'll be a Montessori for them.
I would greatly suggest that.
We got a place around here called the Whole Earth Montessori, which just sounds so fun.
It is. It's actually, yeah, I always loved Avery having all, he loved preschool. I went to a Montessori school. I don't really remember it, but we sent my child to one, and the smaller classes, the style of learning, how they learn, and it was a great experience for him and for us.
All righty, well, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
What's up, Ed?
That guy Ryan who just called, was he the guy who called yesterday talking about the guy from Developmental who went crazy and killed his girlfriend?
That would be him, yes.
Also had a good call on After Dark to start the show as well, too.
I think he's called every show for about the last 3 weeks. He's on a real roll.
Yeah. Well, I have something to add to that storyline. There's actually an indie women's wrestling connection to that story.
Oh, no.
And, that is when that guy, after he killed his girlfriend and posted the photos, I don't know if you remember, but he was tweeting and posting about that he was going to go out in a firefight and he wasn't just going to go down. He was going to, you know, he wasn't going to get taken in. He was going to go down. Well, yeah. Before the police found him, I'm not sure why, but he called Santana Garrett's father, TNA Brittany's father, and her father actually talked him into not doing that and to kind of like turning himself in and not, you know, causing any more death.
Really? I did not know that story.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what the connection is, but apparently like a lot of the Florida wrestlers know her father and stuff.
So is this guy locked up for life or how did this whole thing conclude? Do we have a conclusion yet?
I just remember they apprehended him, but I don't know what she's been sentenced or what's going on. I haven't heard anything since the whole thing happened.
Man. Mike, do you have any updates on this story? Or can you investigate this for me? Because I remember when it happened. It's a lot of times when there's a big, and this is in the mainstream media as well, there's a big criminal story, there's something that happens, and it's all in the headlines for like 4 or 5 or 6 days, and then another story breaks, and you never really find out what happened unless you do a lot of investigation. So I remember everything that weekend when that story went down, but I don't even know what happened to the guy.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I thought he may have harmed himself, but I'll do a little bit of a double check here as it goes along.
And also, Mike, since somebody else was asking with Ed here on the line, what is going on with Jim in Virginia? Is he doing all right?
Yeah, he's actually, I saw on his Facebook, he is now recovering. I believe he's in Danville, Virginia, but he has been laid up and he continues to be laid up, but apparently every day he keeps getting a little bit better. But I'll double check on that one too. But apparently he's in pretty good spirits as much as he possibly can be for whatever's going on.
All right. Well, that's good. All the best wishes to Jim. Ed, I'm trying to wish best wishes. Hold on a second there, buddy. Hold on, Ed. I want to wish best wishes to Jim. Now you may go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, unlike Ed, at least there are some people in WWE that like hearing Jim on the phone and are waiting for his comeback.
That's
right. They're not clamoring for Ed.
Jim is very popular among people in WWE, so hopefully he gets well soon. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I'm surprised he hasn't called in because he was posting videos all day today on Facebook. But speaking of Santana Garrett...
Then he is feeling better now, isn't he?
Speaking of Santana Garrett, she because of booking angles and injuries, Mia Yim did not have an opponent for this coming Friday's Shine pay-per-view. And at FIP this past weekend, Santana beat her in a non-title match. So this Friday, Mia Yim defends against Santana Garrett. And everyone check out the Shine pay-per-view this coming Friday. It should be awesome, like always.
And Ed, if you're going to plug the pay-per-view, you might want to say where we can get the Shine pay-per-view.
Well, you can watch it on WWN Live. It'll be Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's real easy to order. Everything at WWN is real easy. It's real a nice setup, so it's real easy to check out. So check it out.
All right. Well, Ed, thank you very much for the call. I cut him off there in the middle of his sentence. He would have been ranting about women's wrestling for hours on end. But I do hope that Jim returns here soon and gives us an update on how he is doing. He is very much missed here on this program. Football game is over, but the next one is starting at, is it 6:55? Are we about 10 minutes away, Mike, from this next game?
Just a couple minutes away. 6:50 is what they're saying.
6:50, this game starts. And, of course, tonight is UFC, and they are hoping that the game will be over in time for all of these sports fans to switch on over and watch Conor McGregor as he faces Dennis Seaver. If Conor McGregor wins this fight, he will be heading to a showdown with 145-pound champion Jose Aldo, likely in an 80,000-seat stadium in Ireland. And hopefully he does not choke like the Seahawks did for the first half of that game. And he beats Dennis Seaver tonight, and we have a huge match scheduled for later this year.
You know, I just found their booking of that show in Boston. It's not like it was a bad move, but why they didn't do it on Saturday, I guess I kind of realized
why. I told you right there why. They're hoping that everybody will skip the show, but at least watch the main event.
But it just seems to be so ridiculous to me. I mean, you knew New England could possibly be in the mix at this time of year, and to have that show on a Saturday, to me, would have made a lot more sense with everybody in town and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, if the Patriots game goes long, you are really pushing that thing out a long, long time tonight.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there. I know you are there. I see you on the line going once, going twice, and gone. These landlines can be hard to operate, Mike. You know how that goes.
I know it. I have trouble all the time with my rotary phone.
That's right. This weekend, besides the UFC show tonight, we've got the Fantastica Mania shows, Mike. Have you watched any of these thus far?
No, actually not yet. I'm going to be binging on them tomorrow, although it seems to be that CMLL fans are a little bit happier than they have been in previous years, where, you know, New Japan fans are always happy to see those guys come over. It's, you know, fresh and exciting. We get to see guys you don't normally see, you know, Atlantis and Volador and your Maximos and guys like that. But it usually doesn't work out too well for CMLL, although... it seems to be they're a lot happier this time around, and plenty more CMLL versus CMLL matches.
All right, let's try this phone again. You were on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Figure Four and Mr. Audio Nightmare. My name is Scott. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Well, what's going on, Scott?
Not too much. I wanted to pay a compliment to you, Mr. Alvarez, on your great newsletter publication. But I do have one question. Lately, I've been getting the issues in the mail probably a few days late, almost a week late from the last issue. And my question is, when do you usually mail out the latest issues?
I bet I know what Scott this is, don't I?
Well, you could take a guess.
Well, here's the deal. The newsletter is published on Friday, and sometimes if Vinny doesn't get the files into the printer in time, it doesn't end up going out until Monday because the print shop is closed for the weekend. So that's the reason that sometimes you've been getting the issues late. But you can read the PDF Friday afternoon at WrestlingObserver.com with a subscription. And in fact, it is also available for your Kindle if you want to go to Amazon.com. But if you're waiting for the mail, sometimes it's going to be maybe a couple of days late.
Yeah, I'm aware with the online publication. But Brian, as you would know me, I'm old school. I love the printed editions.
Scott, everybody, is as old school as they come. He's 105 years old.
Hey, you know what? I can actually, you know, I've been trying to break away from that, but much like Scott, much like Dave Meltzer, much like I think a lot of people out there of a certain age, I would get the PDF and I would print it out because I am just so used. I'm a newspaper guy. I'm a book guy. I'm trying to transition, but it's very, very difficult to break those old habits of having it in your hand and flipping through it.
Now, Scott, before we go, go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead.
I
was about to say to Mike, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, but I love getting it in the mail. But go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, before you go, how's your father doing?
He is doing wonderful. He's enjoying retirement and loving every minute of it, and I always, feed him all the wrestling news that you and the great Dave Meltzer give to us wrestling fans every single week. And my father says hi to you both, by the way.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for the call. That is Scott Walton. Father is Jeff Walton, the famous ring announcer. And Scott's phone was doing some crazy clipping right there, so I had to put an end to that. But I do very much appreciate the call. And yes, you can actually get the Figure Four Weekly through the mail. I don't pay any of these people to call in and plug this stuff, everybody. I just want you to know that right now. Number one, I'm too lazy. That's the bottom line. We're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment with more. 855-478-4478. If you want to give us a call, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Actually, please don't call right now, everybody. We're going to be taking our hourly break here in a moment, but we will pick up those phones again in about 10 minutes. So get ready to call 855-478-4478. Mike, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but something amazing just happened on the UFC Fight Night 59 broadcast.
Really?
Sean O'Connell defeated Martin Van Buren, the 8th president of the United States. It's crazy.
I'll be there. No social or secret security there to try to stop something like that.
No.
That assault.
TKO in round 3, 2 minutes 11. Actually, oh, I'm sorry, Matt Van Buren.
Oh,
how could I have made that mistake?
Well, you never know. He could be in the lineage somewhere.
Actually, that's how many Van Burens could there possibly be? He probably is related to Martin Van Buren, the 8th president of this great nation. We are here on Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, and UFC Fight Night 59 is starting. We'll probably be giving you the results as we go along here tonight. Joby Sanchez beat Takeki Matsuda in, I believe, the opener of the show. That fight has already taken place. And, of course, Mike is probably going to be covering the football game as well as we find out who will be heading to the Super Bowl to face the Seattle Seahawks. When we come back from the break, going to start taking your phone calls as well. We got a lot of news leading into the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about the matches that have been announced for the show thus far. We can talk more about New Japan. Of course, New Japan has aired on Access TV. They debuted this past weekend on Access every Friday night going head-to-head with Impact. So if you are interested in New Japan Pro Wrestling, that obviously would be the show for you. So we are going to head to our hourly break here, everybody. We shall be back in just a few minutes talking more pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. This is Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every weekend, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. Also available on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. List goes on and on. iTunes, iHeartRadio, what is the other one we've got? iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, of course.
TuneIn Radio,
that's right. And, of course, streaming live worldwide through the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com. And all next week, it is Royal Rumble week here on Wrestling Observer Live, and we are going to be here every weekday, next week only, at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern for an hour every day taking your phone calls. What'll be on your mind leading into tomorrow night's Old School? I apologize, it's not Old School Raw, it's Raw Reunion tomorrow night, same thing. All of the guys are going to be there. Your Kevin Nash, your Razor Ramon, your Hulk Hogan.
Well, I don't know if Kevin Nash will be there. Diesel will be there because Kevin Nash said on his Twitter he would not go back.
That's right. That's right. Although I think Kevin Nash is going back, Mike, because it's supposed to be the NWO, because it is Scott Hall and not Razor Ramon that's back there.
So,
yeah, I guess we will see. But they're going to be there tomorrow, and here we are on the show today. We're talking football as well as wrestling as the Seahawks are on the way to the Super Bowl. There is another game that has just begun. Honest to God, I have no idea who's in it, but the winner will go on to face the Seahawks at the Super Bowl this year. And we're also taking your phone calls on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, 855-478-4478. I should note, by the way, that later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, I'm doing the Brian and Vinny show. And Vinny, of course, works for Football Outsiders. And so I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about the Seahawks game this afternoon. But whatever is on your mind, we've got open lines here today at 855-478-4478. We will start taking calls after the break, so get ready to call. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi here as well. And we are taking your phone calls, talking the news for the next hour, 855-478-4478. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Nico from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Can you get right on into your phone because we can barely hear you?
Sorry about that. I said, this is Nico from Massachusetts. How's it going?
What's going on, Nico?
Yeah, I just had a couple quick questions. The first one being, did either of you guys happen to see Crone Gracie's MMA debut a couple weeks back?
I did see it. I did.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I did see it.
How far do you think he can go in MMA if he cross-trains properly? You know, I feel like he could be different than a lot of the other Gracies who have kind of faltered a bit, you know?
Well, it's hard to say because publicly he's talking about how he is going to go in there and he's going to do pure Gracie jiu-jitsu and he's not going to be cross-training and doing a lot of stand-up and wrestling and that sort of thing. And in 2014, you can't win like that, at least against the very top competition. However, if you watched the match, he ended up pulling guard and winning very quickly, in fact. But he said that he did not go out there with the intention of pulling guard. He said the guy came at him and he pulled guard because that's the position that he was in. So he was intending to stand for a while. I know he has been training with the Diaz brothers. And so I don't buy that he is going to go in there and do pure Gracie jiu-jitsu. I think he's training. I think he's doing all around. Obviously, he's amazing on the ground. I don't know how far he can go, but certainly he looked really good in that first fight.
Yeah, and nobody's even mentioning the fact that he is training with the Diaz brothers or the fact that he's got the, you know, the judo black belt that he does have. Everything has been, you know, centered around, you know, the fact that he's Hickson's son. But, you know, him doing pure jiu-jitsu, I just know because there's only, again, you can be great, but there's only so far you can go. And again, with training with the Diaz brothers and everything else, I think that's a little more gimmick than anything.
All right, and I have one more quick question. Speaking of the Gracies, you know, I've heard that Hickson has been riddled with really bad back injuries for years now and that he can't even really roll around. Do you guys know if there's any truth to that? And thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you very much for the call. I went to a Hickson seminar about a year and a half ago or so. And it's not like the old days, obviously, where he would go in there and he'd roll with every single person there. But he was all taped up. I mean, he had tape everywhere. I know he's had some back injuries. I don't know the extent of them. I don't think he's doing a lot of training these days. I know that his back, I don't know the extent of it. I know it was really bad for a while, but I haven't got an update in the last probably 6 months or a year. So I don't know. I'll try to find out. I actually am going to be Visiting with Pedro Sauer here in a couple of months, and so maybe I can ask him and find out what the story is on Hickson's injuries. So I'll give everybody an update when I can get that.
And tell you what, he's pushing, what, 60 years old, too, so if any arthritis or anything like that has begun to set in, it can't be too unexpected.
I think he's 55. You could check, but he is getting older, yes.
I'll to be the 57 phones. This year.
57, so. There you go. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. This is Charlie in Pennsylvania.
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on something you said earlier about how no one's really excited about the Royal Rumble. That may be true for, the greater part of the nation, but one story I never heard anyone really comment about is how the prices of the Royal Rumble tickets on the secondary market are the highest for a WWE event in the last 5 years.
I heard that.
Pennsylvania, I mean, it's wild. It was an article on Forbes, and man, if you like, I had to get my ticket a week ago. Holy cow! It's $300 to get in the building, $300 to get in the euchre seats.
Wow!
And so, it's because of Philadelphia, because of the Rumble Special. But I mean, there's sort of a morbid fascination with what's going to happen, given what was down in Pittsburgh last year, which I was also present for. I mean, I think there's a lot of interest in this purely for is it going to be another disaster like last year? I can't wait to see what happens.
Plus, well, I think in a more positive side of that, too, wrestling outside of WWE, which is obviously, their storylines and things like that have been very depressing. But wrestling itself, when you think about Ring of Honor, treading the good water that they have and New Japan and things like that, it is a pretty, again, there is excitement that goes on in pro wrestling outside of WWE and in such a rabid market like Philadelphia. And obviously, like you said, there is a little bit of the, macabre factor. Of okay, how bad will Reigns get booed out of the building, and the reaction to Bryan and those sorts of things. It's very interesting. Plus, there's probably a lot of people that are wondering if it's going to be Brock Lesnar's last show.
My question is, yeah, as far as like the tickets on the secondary market, I mean, do we know if they're selling at those prices? That's the important question.
Well, I was pretty heavily invested in trying to get a good deal, and I mean, even the more quote unquote reasonably priced ones are going fast. It's a really hot ticket. It seems like one of those things where they're not going to go down until a half hour before, the Usos face Fandango or whatever the opening match is going to be.
Well, I mean, one point that, everybody has made, obviously, is that no matter how bad WWE is from September through January or so, 9 times out of 10, the January through WrestleMania period is, in fact, very exciting. So there have been many shows that I have not been excited for going in because they haven't done a great job building them up. But the show ends up being an excellent show. They shoot a big angle. There's a lot of excitement coming out of it. And Royal Rumble is a show where that can often happen. So I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm still not that excited for the show.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't going live, I probably wouldn't be, but I'm really looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a blast.
Well, I hope it's an awesome show.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Love what you do.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Very much appreciated. I would love for it to be a great, exciting Royal Rumble. I'm praying it is. My God, we've got to turn this around here. It's been a very, very bad 4 months. It's about time that we had a great show and some great angles leading into Mania here this year.
It would be nice now, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Eric from Minnesota.
Eric, what's going on?
I've been watching early Raws from 1995, and the Raw that I watched was, the go-home show for the Royal Rumble back in 95, and Mantar made his Raw debut. And I was wondering, why did they put Jim Cornette with Mantar?
Why did they put Jim Cornette with Mantar?
Yeah, because Jim Cornette was his manager.
Cornette's got a story about that too, but I don't exactly remember what it is. But yeah, with Jim Cornette in that era of the salmon-colored suit jacket, yes, for God knows what reason, was managing Mantar for that short period of time in Camp Cornette.
Was it a rib, or what was their idea?
Can't remember. I got to try to figure out what that was. I remember him talking about it, though, and obviously in true Jim Cornette fashion, you know, obviously dismisses it with the ridiculousness that that it was.
Dude, I'd love to have managed Mantar.
Why is that?
What a thing to put on your resume, a man who wore a bullhead.
Yes, Moose Cholak he was not.
Or King Cuerno is wearing the deer head here today. It's a great gimmick. I wish I could wear a deer head when I did this radio show. Well, maybe I am right now. You don't know that.
I was going to say, nobody can judge you. We haven't gone to video yet.
That's right. Anything else, Eric?
No, that's it. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks so much. Michael, do some investigation. Maybe we'll find out why Mantar was dressed as Moose Cholak. Wonder if that's where King Cuerno got it as well. You know, I was watching the game earlier today. Wasn't really watching it, but it was on. And all over the show was our main man, Conor McGregor, who's going to be fighting later on tonight, UFC on Fox Sports 1. And every time he was on the air, all I thought was, man, this dude had better win tonight. That's all I got to say. Dude better win. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. Plus, continue taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, every Sunday. Actually, this week, it's all week long. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 9 straight days of Wrestling Observer Live. Monday through Friday, it's going to be 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern for an hour, taking your phone calls, talking all of the news leading into the WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And, of course, we're here for another 40 minutes, taking your phone calls. And let's head to the phones. We had a caller on hold. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas. How are you, gentlemen, this evening?
I'm doing well. John, how are you?
I am much better after 2 weeks of nearly being half dead with a violent cough. I am alive. And the one good thing I can say from my entire time of being sick, at least I had access to my Wrestling Observer Online to keep me entertained and keep my spirits up while I felt like crap.
My God, these calls are almost sickening to me. Go ahead.
Because WWE certainly wasn't doing it.
No, what's happening over there? It sounds like something's falling down.
It's not you, is it? I hope.
Quickly shut a door, so I'm afraid it
came
in contact.
Hey, let me tell you something, John, before you do your call. I got some sort of terrible illness. Apparently the flu vaccine this year is only 23% effective, and I got something. And I was sick from Thanksgiving all the way to about a week ago. I mean, I was only really sick for about a week, but it lingered. It lingered for a good 5 weeks, probably. It absolutely sucked.
Like a bad Roman Reigns promo.
Man, one tie-in after another. What's on your mind?
You know, the thing, I feel bad for him. Reigns is trying his damnedest to do what he can do, but, you know, when you're set up with bad material, it's going to always make you look bad. I just wish Vince would hurry up and get with the program and get it into his mindset. Hey, you're not helping these guys that you're wanting to make big stars out of. You're kind of tying a giant anchor to each of their ankles and watching and waving as they sink beneath you. This is not helpful or advantageous to your product. The one thing I'm glad about during this particular time is New Japan Pro Wrestling. After watching the pay-per-view that I saw here a while back and then going into Raw, I was never so happy that I had plunked down money to pay for that pay-per-view. Because what WWE is currently showing me from a creative standpoint just isn't doing it for me. I'm sorry. I just don't see anything, and I'd like to be excited for this upcoming Royal Rumble, and I'd like to see something unique transpire, but right now my faith is completely gone in that company and in its leadership and in its ability to grow and prosper creatively in any way, shape, or form.
These are some pretty depressing calls we're getting today, Mike. What do you think?
Well, it's they haven't done anything to inspire your confidence, unfortunately. But again, even when times are the worst, and there have been worse times than this, believe it or not, but even when times are the worst, you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt that between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, things are going to be okay, even if the fans have to jack everything and take it over as they did last year with Daniel Bryan ending up getting being put in the position that he was in. But everything ultimately worked out for the best there. And again, you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt, because usually almost everything that they do has got a plan to lead into WrestleMania and ends up working out pretty well. Now, you know, the malaise that usually comes after that, well, you know, that's something that every year we complain about. And hopefully, you know, there was a lot of hope last year coming out of WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan being the champion, with the Shield, with the Wyatts, with a lot of the stuff that you had. And obviously it turned into what it turned into, and then just completely continued to crap the bed till the end of the year and got to where we are now. But
Hold on one second. Are you going to be watching the Royal Rumble, my friend?
Yes, I will be watching the Rumble. I bought the network in hopes of seeing some of the older footage and archival stuff from in the vault that they had. But I can't complain about NXT's product. That seems to be the one shining element that I see within their company. If they would just let things naturally, organically happen with their guys and stop over-scripting the promo to such a point to where it's unbearable to watch, I can guarantee you that they've got enough guys there that they'll blossom into stars without having to be force-fed down everyone's throat. If you will just try to let it naturally happen, it might happen. And even some of the people that you would like to get over might get over if you let them be themselves. Case in point, Roman Reigns.
Well, let me tell you one thing. I can't predict the future. Nobody can. But I knew somebody in WWE who told me in probably around, I don't know if it was September or October, but they said, get ready for at least 5 straight weeks of bad television. And I don't know how they knew it was going to be 5 straight weeks of bad television, but they were right and some, as we got, I think, 5 straight months of bad television. But the same person has alerted me that I think that you should get ready, that things are going to start getting good, maybe even as soon as tomorrow. They've got some ideas. So we can cross our fingers and hope that tomorrow things start to turn around. But I want to thank you very much for the call, and hopefully you feel better. I forgot to ask him, Mike, but I believe the last time we heard John, remember he was making that soup?
Yes, that's right.
And then he got sick for 5 weeks.
Hopefully it wasn't something in the soup.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe he has to be careful about making that soup in the future.
Just chicken stock, you know, the old favorites will always still work. Chicken soup, come on, just like mom made.
That's right. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
Chris, what's happening?
Man, not too much. I was just hearing the other caller before, the gentleman from Arkansas, about the sad state of WWE right now, and I'm calling to maybe offer the glass half full comparison.
Good.
I like it.
That's what we like here on the show, positivity.
Yes, positivity, optimism. But it's not so much optimistic for WWE necessarily, although I think they're going to be all right in the end anyway. But for the people that work there, the talent, right now, it just seems like there's if they have a name from WWE, they seem to be able to do good after they leave. And my example would be Alberto El Patron, who I believe over the weekend news broke that he is will be in the new season of Lucha Underground. Is that right?
That's right. He's debuted with Lucha Underground. He turned down a $400,000 deal with TNA and ended up going to Lucha Underground. And he is now the AAA World Heavyweight Champion. He is working for Ring of Honor. He's working for Lucha Underground. This dude has got it made.
Yeah, trips to the UK. I know he's working there too. I'm sure there's interest in Japan.
That's right.
Yes, and MMA possibly with Bellator, I guess.
That's right. They're interested in. Well, you know, by the way, it's funny that you mentioned that you had positivity to talk about, and your positive was if anybody leaves WWE, they can make money elsewhere.
Yes, yes. Well, it's only half full for the talent. I don't know what to say about the company. Although there's a lot of really really great stars maybe on the rise in NXT, so maybe a bright future. I got Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. You got Kevin Owens and all those guys down there. So,
hey, there's talent there. I mean, that's the one thing when it comes to WWE. It will take time to rehab 75% of the guys that they have on that main roster, but you look at it up and down, and it's not like there's not talent there. There's
no,
a
absolutely
ton of
not.
Talent there.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in WWE. There's a ton of talent in NXT. And the issues, listen, the issues that we have with WWE are not issues that they couldn't solve in 1 week if they wanted to. You could probably fire 20 guys on that writing team. You'd be down to 8 guys. You'd probably have a better product. You could make up your mind tomorrow that you're going to stop having Roman Reigns, say, suffer in succotash. You could make up your mind that if a guy is a decent promo, all he's going to get is bullet points. You could decide that your champion is never going to lose unless he's in a very, very big championship match, for example, and he's going to lose to the other guy or at least set up a rematch. There's a million things that you could do. What is going to make wrestling better is not complicated. It's very simple, and it's very easy to make changes towards simplicity. It's just a matter of deciding that what's being done now is not working. And that's clearly the case in a lot of cases here, particularly Roman Reigns.
Yes, exactly. And I think, talking about keeping it simple, I think New Japan, you know, that's another example of that. I mean, the booking's not overly complicated. There's not all these crazy stories with all these plot twists and opening monologues and all that. I mean,
well, there's plot twists. There's just the right timing of them. And again, when you can book something kind of like a sport, even though it's sports entertainment, they have all of the bells and whistles that other promotions have. When you actually put some thought into it and some plans behind it and treat it as though, you know, you are simulating real fight, it makes all the sense in the world.
Not rocket science.
Unfortunately, it's not. I want to thank you very much for the call, bringing some positivity here to the show. Listen, everybody, let's cross our fingers. Tomorrow, it may all turn around. That's the way I like to look at things, Mike. Tomorrow, it may all turn around. We've got this Raw show. It is the go-home show for the Royal Rumble. We're leading into WrestleMania here. We've got Fastlane coming up. What could be more exciting?
Yeah, we'll have to figure out something for that Fastlane. Not the best name for a pay-per-view in the world. But hey, they got Elimination Chamber out of the way, pushes that till later on in the year, which is a good thing because you're not as front-loaded at the beginning of the year. So hey, who knows?
All right, everybody, heading to the break. Back in a moment with your calls, 855-478-4478. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. It is Royal Rumble week, and as a result, we've got quite a week here on Wrestling Observer Live. 9 straight days of programs. We are here Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and all this week, Monday through Friday, we will be up for an hour every single afternoon, 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. So get ready for 9 days of Wrestling Observer Live leading into next weekend's WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always check out WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates and so much more. Radio shows. I do 2 shows a day, every single day, including Sundays, when in fact I do 3 shows. I've got 2 more coming up tonight. I got Brian and Vinny's show talking Ring of Honor and New Japan, as well as WWE SmackDown. Plus, later on tonight, Dave Meltzer and I will be talking UFC and all of the news. That is tonight. And not only do you get all the brand new shows as a subscriber, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. Over 7,000 hours of audio available for you the moment you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you sign up for a year, it's only $9.99 a month, $10.99 if you go month to month, but you will never run out of audio. And as several people have called talking about tonight, they love their subscription. If you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. The UFC show is going on right now, Mike, and I guess the big question is there any chance that Conor McGregor loses to Dennis Seaver here tonight?
A, it's a fight. You never know what could happen. You know, Seaver is a pretty powerful kickboxer. But, and again, you take the punch. You never know what could happen. But I don't think McGregor just walks around everyday life overconfident. So I don't think that would be the thing that ends up doing him in. But with all of the absolutely ridiculous and frankly dumb Muhammad Ali comparisons that they're making with Conor McGregor and things like that, if he were to lose, this would not be good. Obviously they're trying to set up the fight with him and Aldo and was it Croke Park in Ireland in front of 80,000 people. And obviously if something were to happen here, McGregor's star would obviously fall. He wouldn't be dead for forever, but as far as getting him over more as a mainstream sort of guy, it would certainly take a hit.
We've got the Royal Rumble coming up, as noted. Three matches announced so far, and keep in mind, everybody, the go-home show is tomorrow, but we only have three matches for the Royal Rumble, one of which, by the way, is the Royal Rumble. 30 men. Over-the-top Battle Royal, men entering at two-minute intervals. We'll have some surprises there. And since people on Twitter are asking, yes, Randy Orton is likely one of the surprises for the Royal Rumble, unless they decide to bring him back tomorrow to announce he's one of the surprises. Also, of course, the three-way for the WWE World Heavyweight title is Brock Lesnar against John Cena and Seth Rollins in a triple threat match. First pinfall ends up becoming the champion. And we've also got a tag team match for the tag titles, the Usos against The Miz and Damian Mizdow, I believe for the 9,000th time. And the confirmed entrants, Mike, for the Royal Rumble include Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Rusev, Bray Wyatt, Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Goldust, Stardust, The Big Show, and Kane. Who's winning the Royal Rumble? Are they going to do it with Roman Reigns?
Boy, again, you know, a lot of it depends on what happens in that three-way match. I am still of the idea right now. You have Reigns. You know, you can give Reigns one, and obviously there'll be the issues they've had with Sky in the UK is affecting main event all over the place because they don't have separate feeds of the WWE network. So main event will not be on this week. It will be Santino Marella hosting a Tumblr party. So I'm sure number one and number 30 in all likelihood will be drawn. And I could see Roman Reigns getting a number one. I could see him breaking the record that he set last year as far as throwing guys out of the ring. But I can also see him getting tossed and Daniel Bryan ending up winning the whole thing. Again, there's a lot of things that could possibly happen, but I'll go with that one because the possibility of a Rollins-Bryan or a Bryan-Lesnar match at WrestleMania, to me, would make the most sense.
I officially predict right here, everybody, that Roman Reigns will draw number 22.
22?
That is my prediction. Number 22. I think if anybody gets number one, it's going to be like Daniel Bryan. And by the way, apparently they're not going to be drawing numbers on Santino's show.
So, well, then what is the point?
So much for that idea.
What is the point?
Well, maybe they'll pull some out of the tumbler, but you won't know what the number is.
Well, we couldn't see all of them anyway, considering they were going to have some mystery spots available.
That is a good question. If they're not drawing numbers, what are they going to do for one full hour on Santino's show? I presume they'll do a lot of, you know, they'll show the video package they show all the time with all of the records and the stats.
Actually, how has in the past, when say like the...
Oh, I got the answer. Sorry to cut you off. It is a look back at the 10 funniest moments in the history of the Royal Rumble. Funny is going to draw money here on Main Event this coming Tuesday night.
I can guarantee you one of them will probably be Axe and Smash facing off against each other when Demolition drew the first two numbers. I can see them making that funny, although at the time it wasn't. It was supposed to be this awesomely shocking thing where these two guys who are brothers, brothers in paint and those S&M outfits that they used to wear, were going to slam into each other and go after each other because only one could end up winning the thing and take all of the money that came from it. But I guarantee you that will probably be it. I wonder if they space out Kofi Kingston's losses, or not losses, but his near eliminations. I wonder if they make that just one entry or there's going to be multiple.
I'm hoping that Demolition and Road Warrior Animal are entrants in the Royal Rumble and they go out there and they eliminate the Ascension. That's my hope.
Well, you get the warlord and the barbarian still exist too. All of these men should just, yes, either if they don't or if they're not in the Rumble, they should just wait outside the ring until Connor and Victor are eliminated and then just beat them senseless.
So the official WWE statement on the show says, Santino presents a spectacular look at the Royal Rumble's most entertaining moments. So that is, I guess, what we're in store for.
Hopefully it's not Taka landing on his face that one year.
No, I don't think it'll be Vince McMahon sliding into the ring and tearing both of his quads either. I would bet that is not one of the Royal Rumble's most entertaining moments.
Oops.
We've got the Usos against the Miz and Mizdow. I don't even know what to predict right here. Could be the end of Miz and Mizdow as a team. Maybe the act is run its course and the Usos win the tag team titles back. That is really the only other match that we have announced for the show at this point. So tomorrow, I guess, we'll have a full card. I would presume there would be at least five matches, maybe even six. We've got to have some sort of pre-show match. I don't know what it would be, but I guess we'll find out tomorrow. Have you been watching the New Japan on Access TV show?
No, unfortunately, I said yesterday I missed it, although I am happy to hear that they are going to be doing on-demand replay. So I'm certainly going to take advantage of that because there were a lot of people, even if they were not huge Mauro Ranallo fans leading into this thing, that seemed to, I'm not saying turn the corner on him, but it's certainly when it comes to this show, they have loved he and Josh Barnett doing the commentary, and apparently it hasn't even peaked yet from what the people that have seen the early screeners of the couple episodes of the show have already seen.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the show as soon as we go off the air. I have not seen the first episode yet, but now that I think about it, I believe there's an Access TV app on my Apple TV, so I'm going to find out right here if you can watch it there. But yes, apparently the show is available on demand. And I do know some people that don't have Access TV, but for whatever reason, they are able to watch the show on demand. So maybe head up there and see if you check your on demand, whether you have Access TV or not, and find out if it is available for you. I don't see Access TV on here, so maybe I was making that up in my own brain.
Well, when it comes to cable, you know, although we don't get access as a part of our Comcast here, a lot of the stuff like Inside MMA and things like that are available on demand. I don't know if they're going to do that in this case or, you know, but I certainly hope that's the case, whether it's on the website or whether it's through your cable provider. It's one of those things that, again, I haven't seen the show yet, but I've seen all of the matches that they're going to have on there. And I am partial towards Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett. So it's one of those shows that if you do have the hour to spend, and you are a wrestling fan, I would suggest you watch it because even if you're not a huge wrestling fan and we're into MMA, it really would be it's the best bridge out there possible.
My God, I don't have that, but I do have Feeling on my Apple TV.
Well, they just added the tennis channel. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but I see that I can watch Rainbow Bright, Annie, Sleepless in Seattle, and a number of other shows as well. So, man, it is my lucky day now that I found this. Oh, The Karate Kid is on there.
Okay, that'll take.
And La Bamba.
Nothing wrong with that either.
How about that? All right, everybody, what else have we got to talk about here today? UFC on FS1, or Fox Sports 1, is obviously taking place. And Conor McGregor is going to be heading into the ring after the football game ends here tonight. So you can I'll look forward to that. Fantastica Mania is taking place all this weekend. If you've got NJPWWorld.com, you can check out that. Hulk Hogan, of course, is on Raw tomorrow. And no one this entire weekend has even brought up TNA on Destination America. It has really fallen off the radar, Mike. I'm not saying that in any sort of negative way towards TNA. It is just, it's moved to Friday nights. It is on a station that half the country gets. And I'm not just talking about myself. I have not heard anybody talking about TNA on Destination America. It's like it's just completely fallen off the radar.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Not, you know, it's the worst possible night, you know, especially if you're going to have New Japan on Access and Bellator every week, you know, gumming up the works even more. But, yeah, I don't – just a too bad for them, you know. And there's another thing. If you wanted to change things and you wanted things to look different, obviously there were going to be production issues because the amount of money they're bringing in is obviously way down. The amount of money that Spike was putting in, Destination America certainly is not. But, you know, New Japan and other, you know, look what works in other places. Look what has been working. You want to be different than WWE. Will be different than WWE then, and try to take a different tact and a different setup with where you go with your guys instead of, unfortunately, what I saw in the first episode. I haven't seen the second episode yet, and I guess, unfortunately, I'm not alone. And again, it's just too bad because there needs to be other places out there that work, and I feel bad for the talent that's there and some of the people that are there. But, you know, what can you really say at this point when it comes to Impact?
All right, let's hear your prediction for tonight, by the way. We haven't even mentioned yet. Cowboy Cerrone is facing Benson Henderson. This will be their third fight. Benson Henderson has won the first two fights, although Cowboy has looked good of late. He has taken this on, I believe, 3 weeks' notice, a very, very quick turnaround. He just fought a couple of weeks ago, and he thinks that he has Benson Henderson's number. What do you think?
As good as Cerrone has looked, I'm taking Henderson. I'm taking Henderson. The turnaround time on that fight it's going to play a part. And obviously Cerrone has not been as slow of a starter as he has been in previous fights. He seems to have gotten that out of his system. I know he's going to be ready, but I can see this thing, you know, pushing late. And for the most part, you know, Ben Henderson, when it comes to 5-round fights, he always seems to get the benefit of the doubt.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, later on tonight. Conor McGregor and Dennis Seaver. How is this described on Twitter, Mike? You were just telling me during the break.
Yeah, let me pull it back up here. This is a legitimate thing, I guess. It just came from the Fight Ghost. I saw tweeted it, and I retweeted it. It goes something like this: the Irish Muhammad Ali versus Gremlin Creature in UFC main event tonight. Fox promos in bold print, not my word, theirs.
That's
and
just
the,
not
the
right.
Constant Irish Muhammad Ali thing continues.
All right, everybody, that's coming up later on tonight. And guess what is coming up later on tonight as well? The Brian and Vinny Show talking SmackDown, Ring of Honor, and one other as well. What else is
Seahawks.
It? Seahawks, SmackDown, Ring of Honor. I got to watch New Japan, that's right. That's coming up tonight. That's the Brian and Vinny Show. Dave and I are going to be up later talking UFC, as well as all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts from the weekend. And we are going to be back all next week, not only as subscribers to WrestlingObserver.com will get, but here on Sports Byline USA, Monday through Friday, don't forget, 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Sports Byline USA. I'm up all next week, hopefully with Mike as well. We'll have some special guests 5 days a week leading into the Royal Rumble weekend, which, of course, is next Saturday and Sunday here on the program. Saturdays, we're always here at 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, we're always here at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. So we're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank Mike, as always, all of the callers on the program, everybody at Sports Byline USA. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow, Monday, at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern for more, leading into Monday Night Raw, the go-home show for the Royal Rumble. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.